tonight, verse number 20. My first portion of scripture. We've used this scripture several times just here recently. It's been talked about, read, quoted. Praise the Lord. It's just wonderful that the Word of God just never wears out. And it will always encourage if I'll grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20 says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Praise God. Aren't you glad that's not the promise of a man? That's the promise of God. That's the promise of the Son of God. That where two or three are gathered together, there He is. Because we've gathered in His name. We've worshipped His name. We love Him. And He's here. Now, do you believe that? You may be seated. Praise God. I want to share with us tonight. It's going to be more of a teaching mode, maybe till we get to the end. I want to share with us tonight the title, and I've shared this before. I don't know whether I'm going to start this again or what, but this is just the direction the Lord led me to. We did a series, believe it or not, it was 8 years ago, and so some of you may not have been with us, but we did a series on Jesus in the midst of His church. This is the scripture that we would read each time we begin to minister. And tonight I want to talk about unfolding promises. Really what my goal is tonight is to encourage your heart and my heart to the reality that God's got this all under control. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That means He's the beginning and He's the end. That means He has the final say, and He is totally involved all the way from the Alpha to the Omega. He didn't just show up in the beginning and then going to show up at the end. He's been thoroughly involved all the way through. Amen. And what I'm going to share tonight is that the unfolding promises in the book of Revelation and how they relate to the kingdom of God. When it began, when it's going to end. Amen. The order of the promises in the seven epistles corresponds of that of the unfolding of the kingdom of God in its first beginnings on earth to its consummation in heaven. And so it begins in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7. And he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, this is a statement. This is a promise. This is something that is awaiting the overcomer that listens to the Spirit of God. They are going to be given the authority, the privilege, the right to eat tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There is a paradise of God awaiting us. How many remember there was a paradise of God in the beginning? And what was in that paradise of God? The tree of life. And so Adam and Eve had access to the paradise of God that was on this earth at that time. They had access to the tree of life, and they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know the rest of the story. That's not what I'm preaching on. But here we have a promise that's going to be restored. But it also reflects back to the very beginning. It was there to start with. But man lost it. But Jesus Christ came to. Remember, the whole book of Revelation is talking about Jesus Christ and His work that He came to fulfill and the work that He still has to do. Praise God. And so here we find that there is a promise to the overcomer. These are key words in all these scriptures. Hearing and overcoming. Praise God. Can we say that together? Hearing and overcoming. Praise God. Because they go hand in hand. Because if I hear and I listen, I will.
will overcome. Praise God, because all I have to do is be a donkey. I'm just incorporating this into it because we talked about it.
All I have to do is be led. All I have to do is follow. And I can be an overcomer. Praise God. And I'll get to eat of that tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And so this was written to the first church, Ephesus. And so then we find in Revelation chapter 2, I'm skipping some of it just for the sake of time because we're dealing with it. We understand that Genesis chapter 2 verse 9 is where that tree was and where God told them not to eat and the things we've already said. And so Revelation chapter 2 verse number 11, he that hath an ear, there we are again, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I just want to interject this in here. He already said that once, didn't he? But now he said it again, Brother Timmy. You think he's trying to get a message across? Because John's still writing it, and it is going to different churches, but the whole book gets read by all the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This is a unfolding promise of the reality because sin entered the world and death by sin. But to the faithful Smyrna church, it is promised they shall not be hurt by the second death. See, death entered in by Adam. We just discussed this, Resurrection Sunday. But life came through the second Adam, Jesus Christ. So now those that will hear what the Spirit is saying and overcome, what are we going to overcome? Whatever the Spirit of God's telling us to overcome. Woo. See, I mean, you can't really put a, what am I going to overcome until you face it and the Spirit of God says, do this. And you do. And you are an overcomer. Praise God. See, so it's not a matter of what do I overcome. It's I overcome when I need to overcome, whatever I need to overcome, whatever the Spirit of God takes me through, that's what I overcome. Hallelujah. And so we see then, here's the second promise, shall not be hurt by the second death. We're all suffering from the first death. But through Jesus Christ, being full of the Holy Ghost and following Christ and overcoming, will not have to face the lake of fire, the second death. Praise God. So here, these are the promises and these are the stipulations that you and I must find ourselves clinging to and following after. Then we move on to Revelation chapter 2 verse 17, and here we find it again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So once again, the Pergamos church has a correlation with the children of Israel and the giving of the law. The manna. The manna, the stone. Stones that God cut out of the mountain and wrote his law. So here we have a reference to the giving of the law, the Mosaic covenant, and the manna. Hallelujah. See, what all this speaks to me is the fact that God started this and God's going to finish it. Hallelujah. And God is involved in every part of our lives from the beginning all the way to the end. Hallelujah. And especially children and young people that are raised in the house of God and are taught the ways of God, God has greater access to their lives than he does other lives that aren't being taught or trained. Doesn't mean they'll say yes, doesn't mean they'll surrender, but they've got a greater access, they've got a greater advantage, and they've got great opportunity to know God, his power, because he's here. Hallelujah, he's here, and they know he's here. They may not fully understand it, but they know he's here. Hallelujah. And so here we now, we've had the paradise, the tree of life. We found sin coming in, but not being hurt by the second death. Death came in, but the second death is taken care of by Jesus Christ. We find the hidden manna. In other words, the true things of God and what God wants to provide for his people, just like he did with the church in the wilderness, the Mosaic period of time, that hidden manna. Now in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. So to Thyatira, namely triumph over the nations, it forms the consummation of the kingdom in the prophetic type of the period of David and Solomon, characterized by this power of the nations. Are you seeing the correlation? In other words, all through the Old Testament, there was a rise to the time of the kings. And this is a promise that correlates with the rise of David, and that his kingdom was going to what? Be everlasting. And during David's reign as king, he conquered everybody. And when Solomon became king, he didn't have anybody to conquer. All he had to do is try to rule the conquered ones. That's why he asked for wisdom. But the key factor here is we're seeing here in the book of Revelation, we're seeing a reaching back of promises that are going to be fulfilled. All these Old Testaments were types and symbols pointing to the fulfillment of what God's kingdom was going to be in the final stage. This is how we know he was there in the beginning and he's still here now, and he's going to take it all the way to the end. Hallelujah. We can have confidence in our God. He's not going to just drop us halfway through his plan. He's got a plan. And then I still reverb off the king, always has another move. Hallelujah. Because nothing ever takes him by surprise. Circumstance, situations, they don't take him by surprise. He knows the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. And so he just waits to see what kind of surprise we're going to be when it comes, and what we're going to do with it when it comes, because he's just waiting to hear from us. Hallelujah. So he can give us directive, take us through. Praise our God, because he already knows it's coming. Some would say, well, then why doesn't he stop it? Well, how weak would you be if he did? Or how strong would you be if he ever stopped every trial that was coming? Or how spoiled would you be if you always just got it your way? Does anybody love spoiled children? Spoiled grown-ups? Yeah. Who causes the most trouble anywhere? Spoiled grown-ups. We'll not go too far there. Praise God. But I hope my whole goal here tonight is to help us see the beginning. And God involved, and God's word then sanctioning it, reminding us, even in the very last book, God reminding us, I've been in this all the way from the beginning. And I'm bringing it to an end. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all we have to do is listen and overcome. Woo, hallelujah. Can I throw this in there? All we got to do is be like a donkey. Amen. Just be led by the Spirit of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Christ promises to the believers of Sardis not to blot his name out of the book of life, but to confess him before his Father and the angels at the judgment day, and clothe him with a glorified body of dazzling whiteness. Now, to me, this kind of points to the fact that not all that came out of Egypt entered in to the promised land. is actually a whole generation passed in a 40-year period of time because of their rebellion against God. And they wouldn't be a donkey. In other words, they wouldn't be led by God. They wouldn't follow God. They wouldn't trust God. They were called a stiff-necked people, a stubborn people. Because every time God wanted them to do something, they wanted to do the opposite. And then God said, all right, we're not going to do that. Then they'd want to do what God said, now you can't do. No, I beg of you, don't try to live your life that way. Learn to be the donkey. Praise God. Learn to take Jesus wherever he wants to go. Praise God. So here we are, the overcomer. What does that let me know? That means that if I won't listen and I won't overcome, my name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, I've had several discussions with certain groups of people about this scripture who don't think you can lose your salvation once you have it. Well, number one, you got to make sure you have it. And number two, you got to make sure you keep it. Because the promise is to the one that listens and overcomes. And if we will not overcome, then our name will be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. See, it's not a matter of learning, being trained, being tested, being tried. In other words, when we quit listening to the Spirit of God, it's a willful choice and a willful decision that we are going to go and live our way and not pay any attention to God's way. That's when your name's going to be blotted out. You may stumble, you may fall, but you realize you stumbled, you fell, and you get up and you go back to God. What is that? That's learning how to walk. I mean, you know, these children, all these children now know how to walk. And Liliana, she's walking now. But, you know, when she first started, did she fall a time or two? Yep. Yeah. And we do too when we first started. But now when you get a little mature and you get a little older, but Paul said, you're still babies. You just want milk and you don't want meat. So what? There's a growth problem there. So now God's going to start dealing a little bit more stronger and a little less lenient because you ought to know better. It's one thing if you don't know better, but the Bible says if you know to do right and do it not, it is sin. And that can separate you from God in your relationship with Him. And that will have to be dealt with when the Spirit of God comes and begins to speak about that sin. And you start hearkening again. You'll get reestablished, revived, refired. You'll be walking again. You'll be a good donkey then. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see then, we've got the promise. Amen. That our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've got the promise of a glorified body in dazzling whiteness. Hallelujah. And that judgment day will not be a problem for us. But we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 12. You notice we're not seeing any of he that hath an ear, let him hear. To me that means the Spirit of God thought, I've said it how many times? Surely you got it now. You got to hear and you got to overcome. They're linked together. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. Praise God. We've got a kingdom. We're part of a kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. The Bible calls us citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. And we are going to be part of a new Jerusalem. Praise God. A city of God. Where there is no night and where there is no sun. But Jesus is the light. These are our promises as overcomers. As believers. I want you to understand. A believer is an overcomer. Not somebody just says, I believe in Jesus. No. A believer is an overcomer. When that anger wants to get in our heads, we send it away. When bitterness wants to rise in our heart, we stomp it out by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because we listen to the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of God says, that's not me, that's not Jesus, that's you, then we want free from you. Or free from me. Praise God. Most folks want free from you. Praise God. Yeah. Get them out of the way. Yeah, praise God. No, that means I've got to be set free from me. Hallelujah. Because we don't want those things in there, because we're an overcomer. We're more than a conqueror. Amen. So to the faithful at Philadelphia, Christ promises they shall be citizens of the New Jerusalem, fixed as immovable pillars there, where city and temple are one. That's just what I was saying. Jesus is the light there. The Father dwells there. Here, not only individual salvation is promised to the believer, as in the case of Sardis, but also privileges and blessed communion of the church triumphant. Amen. As Brother James Gann preached so wonderfully last camp meeting, the triumphant church. Part of the triumphant church. We're going places. We're going somewhere. We've got a plan. God's got a plan. We've got purpose. Hallelujah. We can't lose sight of the purpose why we are a Christian. Why we are a follower of Christ. We are headed for that unfolding promises of God that He's given unto those that trust Him, love Him, believe Him, follow Him, and overcome the obstacles the enemy wants to put in our way. Those that will not be distracted. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Lastly, to those that repent of Laodicea is given the crowning promise, not only the two former blessings, but a seat with Christ on his throne, even as he is set with his Father on his throne, on the Father's throne. Wow. See, we're going somewhere. Hallelujah. A servant of the Lord, a follower of Jesus Christ, will become a joint heir and a throne with Christ to rule and reign over whatever needs to be ruled and reigned over. But once again, not just anybody's going to get this position. It's going to be the one that will repent. That's where listen comes in. And then overcomes. Overcoming is none other than just doing what God's Word asks us to do when the Spirit of God brings it to our attention. Praise God. That's why it's so important for the Holy Ghost to have supreme authority over our lives. That's why it's so important to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, so that the Holy Ghost can have authority in our lives. Because that's really what we're doing when we receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We are relinquishing our right to ourselves and submitting to the authority of God to come and have His way. Amen. And that's the biggest, really, battle of receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost, because it's a battle of thrones. It's a battle of kings. Will I be my own king, or will I submit to the King of Kings? That's the battle of receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Will I do it my way, or will I do it His way? Will I worship Him according to my way, or will I worship Him according to the Spirit of truth? Ooh, see, I mean, it's all intertwined. And a lot of people want to just kind of pluck this one out. Well, I'll believe this part, and I'll believe this part, and I'll believe this part. Hey, I think I'm correct. I think the Holy Ghost believes the whole book. And so if I'm going to be led by the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to have to believe the whole book. Hallelujah. And He will reveal it to me. And if I will listen and become compliant. Does everybody understand what that word means, compliant? Let me put it in a simpler term. A donkey. Led. Led. Not stubborn, but compliant. Doing what God would have me to do. And you're going to find He's going to start in small places. Small places. I mean, you know, you got to realize, how many's ever made like a New Year's resolution that you're going to start exercising? Did anybody make that one this year? Ah, you done gave up on it all. Not even going to try to do what the doctor told you to do, huh? How many realize that every time you go to the doctor, the first thing they tell you, ask you, are you exercising? Are you watching what you eat? I love watching my food, Doc. What a... Praise God. But what I'm after is that anybody that's ever decided to start exercise, your first mistake when you start exercising is you try to do it like you could do it 10 years ago. You're done with exercise because you almost died. But if you'll read after the different ones, it said if you haven't exercised in a long time, or maybe you got a little few extra pounds, it says you're going to have to start small and slow. You know, just, you know, if you're going to start walking, then just start walking around your house. Sister Betty's got a track in her house. She does. She's got a hallway and she's got a path that she walks because she wants to keep walking for a long time yet. And so she knows if she don't walk, she ain't going to get to. And so she's got a little path. So you just start out small. You know, if you're going to start exercising, you don't go out and try to run a mile. Tell me what happens when you go out and try to run a mile after you haven't run a mile for, you know, 3 or 4 months. Leg cramp. I saw Timmy doing that one night out on the street. No, I didn't see him do it, but he told me about it. He's got leg cramps. Oh, man, I used to be able to do this. Yeah, I used to be. Okay, I said all that because when the Spirit of God starts working in our lives, He knows He's got to start small or we can't handle it. And so some of those things that we may think really don't make a difference, they really do if you want to be a donkey. If you want to be led by the Spirit of God. Most folks, a lot of times, we make that big mistake. Well, I want to be led by the Spirit of God, but we're thinking preaching. You know, we're thinking doing some miraculous witnessing. You know, I mean, you know, we want to do, oh, yeah. God may just want to change your apparel. Brother Hill called it really good. He says, God wants us to major in minors. It's not really that big a deal, but yet it's real. And if that's the direction God's calling, that's the direction I got to go. Or I can say, well, God, you know, I'll change this area of my life. You know, because I really don't like doing that anyway, so that'd be easy. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, it's just we got to learn that the Spirit of God's going to start small. And when we're faithful in small things, He will take us into the depths and the riches and the vastness of the kingdom of God. But if we listen in small things, He knows we're not going to listen at all. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Here's the consummation of all these promises that He made at the beginning of the book of Revelation. Revelation 21 and 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Once again, I made the statement already, though the Old Testament tabernacle was just a type, a foreshadow of the heavenly tabernacle. God brought to earth something that He had promised was going to be forever, but it could only be temporary because there was a greater plan coming to get to the final stage. And this is Revelation 21 talking about it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise God. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I've read the back of the book, and I know how the story ends, and I know the plan God has made. Hallelujah. Knowing this, woo, hallelujah, why is it hard to overcome? Understanding where we're going, where we're headed, and what God has prepared for us, why would we not want to overcome? Ah, but Moses had to decide to take the choice for eternal things rather than the pleasures of this world. Moses had to make that decision, even in his day and his hour. Brother Timmy, I've had to make that decision in my day and my hour. You've had to make that decision. Your day, your hour. Every man, every woman, sooner or later, has to make that decision that if they want the things of an everlasting God more than the pleasures of this world, if they're going to be an overcomer, if they're going to receive those promises, if they're going to have the help they need right now, if they're going to have the power they need right now, if they're going to have the presence of an almighty God right now, they're going to have to make that choice. That's what they want, instead of the pleasures of this world. That thief on the cross, he made that choice that day. He started out just like the other thief. Do you remember that? He started out railing Jesus. He started out telling Jesus, get us off here. If you're God, get us off these crosses. Show that power. Do something to help us in our pain. Then he realized not how it works. This man is innocent. They were in prison. They were in there with him. They saw how he was treated. They saw how he responded. And as he hung there, asking God to forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing, it penetrated the heart of that thief. And he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Remember what it said across the top? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That man believed that day he was the King of the Jews. That prophet. It all came together. And he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." What does that mean? That means he began to perceive and understand his kingdom wasn't of this world. And he wanted part of that kingdom. And he got it. See, that's that place of decision. The ways of God instead of the ways of man. Praise God. He turned from a railer to redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Got to have someone back to the piano here again this evening. Amen. The unfolding promises of God. So, no matter what's coming upon our land, who is ultimately in control? God. How am I going to know what to do? God. You're going to need to be able to be on a one-on-one communication with God, because it may literally come to the point of in time where you can't come here. I can't come here. And they will shut off your phone. Because they don't want you talking about Jesus. But that's all believers want to talk about, is Jesus. Believers don't want to talk about one another and gossip about one another. They want to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Good donkeys just talk about Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And good donkeys love other donkeys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Glory. Hallelujah to the King. God is so good to you and I. And I am so thoroughly convinced even more tonight of how much He's in control by all the information He has just given us in one book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. How it becomes a synopsis of all of God's Word. To encourage my heart and encourage my faith, I can see this all the way to the end. I'm not in this for just mere pleasure. I'm not in this for this mere blessing. I am in this because He is the King, and I want to follow the King. Hallelujah. I want to honor the King. I want to honor my God. I want to please the King because my King died. So I could be part of His kingdom. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands unto the Lord and just give Him thanksgiving tonight. Hallelujah. God of heaven, glory and honor and praise be given unto your holy name. Thank you, Lord God, for making me part of the kingdom of God. Thank you for this glorious, grand, gracious plan of salvation that will secure me, that will strengthen me, that will keep me, that will take me through times of tests, times of hardness, times of attack of the enemy. Truly, Lord, you have never left me. You've never forsaken me. You have always been there by my side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in my times of failure. Thank you, God, that you picked me up. Lord God, you washed away the sin. And you put me back on track to run the race that you have set before me. Praise be to our God. Truly, Lord God, you're almighty. Lord, you're omnipotent. Hallelujah. Oh, you know all things, Lord. You're omniscient, oh God. Hallelujah. And you're everywhere. Omnipresent. Hallelujah. And you are able to move in hearts and minds and lives as the saints of God rejoice and pray and intercede. Hallelujah. Oh, that blinded eyes might be opened, Lord God, and hearts be cleansed, minds be renewed. Praise God that bodies would be healed, because you're God. You're God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Son of God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.